Greetings. Yahweh bless you. So we're going to start this fellowship with a prayer. So if somebody would like to begin, thanking our Heavenly Father.
Are you looking at me?
Sure, I will.
Aaron.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you hear us and that you ask us to speak to you. And though you and your Son are running the whole universe, that you can hear our words. We thank you for helping us humble ourselves, circumcise our hearts, and really to come to you with us, asking you to speak directly to us. We know that you have more than we can even imagine, so we just thank you for helping us to whet our appetite and to make us even hungrier for you and your word and for the wonderful things. And we thank you for what an honor it is to have anybody even teach about you, let alone somebody who has the Holy Spirit or the Ruah inside them, so that you could speak through my Father as a minister would speak through a microphone and a speaker. We thank you for these things and these words through Christ Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Okay. We're going to do a study tonight on two kings that Yahweh anointed, and they were for Israel. So when I say Israel, they were broken into two departments. You had Judah, which is two tribes, and this is after Rehoboam, the kingdom split, and Israel was the 10 northern tribes. So Yahweh, if you look at our sheet right here, if you look under the kings of Judah, you'll see a lot of, they were good, evil, good. Some of them followed in the ways of David. And it goes right on through there, the whole history. Which is, you know, that's, you know, 400 years, something like right around there. Think of the United States being 225 years old. When you get into the kings of Israel, generally, they're all evil. Now, Yahweh started this, and we're going to start with Jeroboam, as you can see here. And his name is not Jeroboam. I don't know how we get so far off. But it's Yarobam. So now think of this. If it was a Y-E, okay, there's Yah. Now look at Rob, R-O-B. Okay, Rob. And just forget the other O, Om. So his name is really Yarobam. Yeah, not even close to Jeroboam, where we get Jeroboam. But that's the actual pronunciation of the name. So whenever you see something in with J in Hebrew, just put a Y in front of it. That's just good. And it means people contend. And the other one we're going to learn about is what they call Jehu. And his name is really Yehu. So this thing of Y-E-H and then who, H-O-O. And that means Yah is He. And if you look under the kings of Israel, you're going to see Jeroboam was at the top, 22 years. And then Yahu, or Jehu, is 28 years, about in the middle. These are very interesting people. That we're going to learn something about Yahweh's stories and their history. How He uses people. And He uses people that have a lot of blemishes. And so we've got to remember many times, Yahweh has put somebody in a position that we would say, no way, because of maybe of their lifestyle. But He's going to say, way, and we're going to look at some of these two people. And actually, they sin at the same time, but He still put them there. So you have to go, okay, so there's always those exceptions. The saintly, powerful person is very rare, I guess. You might have a saintly person, but they're so weak, they'll cave underneath the pressure. And then you have somebody who's very strong that can take on any man to death. And that's a very good attribute if he can humble himself to Yahweh. So we're going to begin in 1 Kings 11, verse 11, page 364. Very fascinating stuff. So you got to go back and read it. We won't be able to cover it like it should be covered, but the great history. Now we're going to see, why did they split in the first place? You know, David started it. Solomon did it. They had all the empire. What went wrong? And it was prosperity. So remember, usually some of the most our dangerous time is when you're the most prosperous. Very simple, because you don't need Yahweh. So what else did Solomon need? Nothing. He got visited by Yahweh twice.
Yeah.
You know, he wrote Proverbs. I mean, and, you know, Song of Solomon. You know, you go on and on and on. He's a prophet. He's an anointed king. And he sabotaged Yahweh at the end. And so look at, here's something very important. It's important for all of us to communicate. It's called allegiance. Where's your allegiance? And when it becomes between Yahweh and your family, all right, it has to be Yahweh. And who's leaving is my family. So Adam, allegiance was to Yahweh. But Eve, he ended up changing his allegiance to Eve. And that's what that brought him down. So he chose Eve over Yahweh. And when we get into obedience, if Yahweh says to your brother, lead him. Don't have anything to do with him. Are you willing to do it? You know, if Yahweh tells you on Caleb when he's 25 years old, don't eat with Caleb. Are you willing to do that? And you have to say yes. Well, he's my son. No, doesn't make any difference. That's what Yahweh says. That's what I'm going to do. And so if he's out, you know, if a person is living in sin, that's it. Because in 1 Corinthians 5 says that. Very simply. That's like the Democratic Party. If you're a if your friends are a Democrat, it really comes down to they're sinners. No matter about it. Because what they're doing is they've voted for sodomy, abortion, taking people's money. I did a pastor on this. They're breaking 5 of the 10 commandments. Can you believe that? You know, you got murder, you got adultery, you got bearing false witness. Do Democrats bear false witness? Yes. Lie? Absolutely. You've got stealing, which they want to steal from the rich, and you got coveting because they want to take from the rich. That's 5 of the 10 commandments they're breaking. Now, if they're your friends, they shouldn't be. You either present it to them and say, you got to give this stuff up, they're saying no. Because I have been told not to fellowship with a brother in Christ, you know, with a fornicator or adulterer, and that's what you are. Very simply. So we can't coexist. So, but that's not what the teaching is about. But I guess it's somewhat it is, because Solomon chose his wives over Yahweh. Acts. And he did probably very good. Maybe he did 30 years. Can we do a 40-year hitch with Yahweh and be faithful the whole way through? And that's the same way with husband and wives. You know, it's the same way where you can say, no, I can't live with my wife anymore, or no, I cannot live with my husband anymore. Because they are breaking the laws of Yahweh. No. So we go 11, verse 11. 1 Kings 11, verse 11. Now there's going to be a lot of reading, so I'm going to ask people to read. But this is, Solomon set this all up. Wherefore Yahweh said unto Solomon, for as much as this hath come to pass with thee, and thou hast not heeded my covenant and my statutes which I charged upon thee, I will rent the kingdom away from thee, and will give it unto a servant of thine. Notwithstanding, in thy own days will I do it, I not do it, for the sake of David thy father, out of the hand of thy son will I rend it. Howbeit, all the kingdom will I not rent away, one tribe will I give unto thy son, for the sake of David my servant, and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. So there it is. Yahweh's telling Solomon, here's what's going to happen. I don't imagine Solomon ever repented in that situation. Now we go to same 11, verse 28.
What chapter?
Same chapter, 11, verse 28. Now the man, I'm just going to say Jeroboam, but remember his name is Yahrab. The man Jeroboam, being an able man, Solomon observed his servant, and he was one to execute a work, so he gave him oversight over all the charge of the house of Joseph. And it came to pass, at the time when Jeroboam went forth out of Jerusalem, that there met him Ahijah, the Shilonite, the prophet in the way, he having wrapped himself about with a new mantle, and they too were by themselves in the field. Then Ahijah laid hold of the new mantle that was upon him, and he rent it in 12 pieces, and said to Jeroboam, take these 10 pieces, for thus saith Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, behold me about to rent the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon, and I will give unto thee 10 tribes. Howbeit, one tribe shall be retained for the sake of my servant David, and for the sake of Jerusalem, the city that I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. See, this has only been 80 years. Now, since David took over, and it's 80 years, it's so short a time. One lifespan of a person. Mm-hmm. When do you want to read 33?
Yeah, I'm having trouble finding out where we are.
Page 365.
365.
Okay, Sean, you want to do 33 mm-hmm. to 40?
Because they have forsaken me and bowed themselves down to, oh gosh, Ashtoreth, goddess of the Zidonians, to Chemosh, god of the Moabites, and to Milcom, god of the sons of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways by doing what is right in my eyes, and even my statutes and my regulations, like David his father. Yet will I not take all the kingdom out of his hand, but will suffer him to be leader all the days of his life, for the sake of David, my servant, whom I chose, who kept my commandments and my statutes. But I will take the kingdom out of the hand of his son, and will give it to thee, even the 10 tribes. Nevertheless, to his son will I give 1 tribe, to the end there may remain a lamp unto David, my servant, always before me in Jerusalem, the city that I have chosen for myself, to put my name there. But thee will I take, and thou shalt reign over all that thy soul could desire, and thou shalt be king over Israel. So shall it be, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I shall command thee, and wilt walk in my ways, and do that which is right in mine eyes, by keeping my statutes and my commandments, as did David my servant. Then will I be with thee, and will build thee an assured house, as I have built for David, and will give unto thee Israel. Thus will I humiliate the seed of David because of this, yet not forever.
And stop there. All he's got to do is just do the law. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is 10 tribes, just do the law. Very simple situation, but we're going to find out he doesn't. And we go to chapter 12, verse 25. And this is something I would probably do. Now, one thing we've got to remember, the Mosaic law said men have to go to Jerusalem 3 times a year. They have to, you know, that's it. That's the law. So if the 10 tribes are leaving, they're going to have to come back to Jerusalem, aren't they? Mm-hmm. These men. And the priests can only be of Aaron, and the Levites can only be this. And so what I'm saying is, you're telling me to take the kingdom, and I took it from Rehoboam, which was Solomon's son. He's not happy about it. Now, he's going to do justification in his mind by not walking in faith, and that starts off at 25. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim, and dwelt therein, and went forth from this, and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David, if this people go up to offer sacrifice in the house of Yahweh in Jerusalem. Then will the heart of the people return unto their Lord, unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will slay me and return unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. So he's going by his senses to say, well, if I let them go back, this is all going to backfire. He's not believing what Yahweh said. Yahweh said, I gave it to you. Obey the commandments. Mm. And it's done. He's, nope. Whereupon the king took counsel and made 2 calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Lo, thy gods, O Israel, that brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Sound familiar? Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, we're going to find out these gods stay around a long time, just like the gods we have. Mm-hmm. You know, our Trinity is the same 2 gods that have been made by man. Now, that Trinity has been around for probably close to 2,000 years. Yeah. You know, and we're going to find out about the sin of Jeroboam, and that is this. The sin of Jeroboam is going to go all the way through for hundreds of years of Nebat.
And it looks right.
Yeah. So he's going to say, you don't need to go to Jerusalem. We're going to stay right here. Now watch what else he does. And he set the one in Bethel and the other he put in Dan. And this same became a sin, and the people went before the one as far as Dan. And he made a house of high places and made priests from the whole compass of the people who were not of the sons of Levi, made his own priest. And Jeroboam made a festival in the 8th month. When is this festival supposed to be? One of them. Okay, there's 3 festivals. And there's one of unleavened bread. That's after Passover. There's one of Feast of Weeks, which is 49 or 50 weeks past Passover. unleavened bread. And then we have Festival of Booths, which is the seventh month. So always remember, the seventh month is Tishri. It's the most holiest month of all. Because that was, Tishri 1 is when Christ was born. And that is the day of shouting. Tishri 10 was the day of propitiation. Only one time a year where the high priest went in. And then Tishri 15 is when they did the Festival of Booths. So all Israel, this is a big month. He's going to make month 8. He's going to bypass and make his own month. So watch what happens. And I'll start at 32. And Jeroboam made a festival in the 8th month on the, 15th day of the month. They're used to the 15th day. We'll do the 15th day. So people are going to miss this celebration. And this is what Russia, Soviet Union did. People missed Christmas when they went into the communists, and so they made other holidays. They just didn't name them Christmas.
France
they made it, you know, Saint, this is a Tulip Day, or this is
May Day.
Yeah, May Day, and they gave all the different ways to try to replace these festivals. Like the festival which was held in Judah and offered up on the altar. Likewise did he do in Bethel, sacrificing to the calves which he had made, and he kept in attendance in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made, and he offered up on the altar which he had made in Bethel on the 15th day in the 8th month, in the month which he had devised out of his own heart. Thus made he a festival for the sons of Israel, and offered up on the altar to make a perfume. Wow. This is your first year on the job. I bet you they didn't come down to one festival. Did Yahweh anoint him? Yeah, Yahweh sent a prophet to anoint him. And so you're like, wow. What was available, and then what he ended up turning things around. But probably it would have been worse if they would have all stayed with Rehoboam, with Judah. And so Yahweh's working with lesser evils many times. Now we go to chapter 14, verse 20. And the days which Jeroboam reigned was 22 years, and he slept with his fathers, and Nabat his son reigned in his stead. So we got 22 years, and then 2 years for Nabat. So now we go to chapter 15, verse 25. And that's his son Nabat. So let's look at the end result of Jeroboam's commission. What did he get out of it? He got 22 years. And here's his son, supposed to carry on the lineage. And Nabob, son of Jeroboam, began to reign over Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah. And he reigned over Israel 2 years. And he did the thing that was wicked in the eyes of Yahweh, and walked in the ways of his father and in his sin, wherein he caused Israel to sin. And Baasha, son of Ahijah of the house of Issachar, conspired against him, and Baasha smote him in Gibeonton, which belonged to the Philistines. Nabob and all Israel being in a siege against Gibeonton. And let's see here. And it came to, let's go on 29. It came to pass when he became king that he smote all the house of Jeroboam. So now you're looking at Jeroboam, it's a 24-year span, and he's out of commission. But his son, by making those two calves, are going to carry on for a long time, as we can see. Now, what's significant about this, let's go to 2 Kings 23:15.
Where were the two calves in Bethel?
And one in Dan and one in Bethel.
You said 23:15.
Now Josiah is a king of Judah. This is approximately 350 years later. The United States is 225 years old. This is 350 years. Let's see the manifestation of Jeroboam and his sin. So 23 verse 15. Moreover also, the altar that was in Bethel, the high place with Jeroboam's son and Nebat made. Now here, it's always Jeroboam's son and Nebat made. Wherewith he caused Israel to sin. He's blaming Israel on the leadership, and that's what we've got to realize too. Did Obama doing the same thing? Yeah. He was leading people and encouraging people for sodomy, for transgender, for everything else. And so people said, well, if he says it's okay, they let their guards down. It could be a pastor of a church, the same thing. And these big leaders come up, and people look towards them, and they'll get in line or they get out of line. And so Josiah is making everybody get in line because he's tearing down everything. And so you're going to get in line with Josiah. Rehoboam built up everything, and they just followed Rehoboam. So people are like sheep. Let me see. Even that altar in the high place, break ye down, and burnt the high place, crushing it to powder, and burned its sacred stem. And when Josiah turned and saw the graves which were there in the mount, he sent and took the bones of the graves and burned upon the altar and defiled it according to the word of Yahweh, which the man of Elohim proclaimed to proclaim these things. So, we're going to find out a prophet came to Jeroboam and said, this is going to happen. 350 years ago, he did that. Mm-hmm. Let's just go to 1 Kings 13. So Yahweh sends a prophet, and we don't know his name is, but they call him a man of Elohim. Man of Elohim. And that's verse 1. And lo, a man of Elohim came in of Judah by the word of Yahweh unto Bethel, as Jeroboam was standing by the altar to make perfume. And he made, and so this is Yahweh addressing his anointed king. Mm-hmm. And saying a prophet from Judah up there. And he made proclamation against the altar by the word of Yahweh and said, altar, O altar. Thus saith Yahweh, lo, a son to be born unto the house of David, Josiah his name. See, that happened 350 years later. Who shall sacrifice on thee the priest of the high places who are making a perfume upon thee, and human bones shall be burned upon thee, and he shall give on that day a sign, saying, this is the sign of which Yahweh has spoken. Lo, the altars be rent, and the ashes that are upon thee shall be poured out. And Jeroboam said, okay, I'm going to repent, right? No, let's look what he does. Verse 4, and it came to pass when the king heard the word of the man of Elohim, which he proclaimed against the altar in Bethel, Jeroboam thrust forth his hand from off the altar, saying, lay hold of him. You know, and this is the same way with us. You know, do you think you're going to be pat on the back for speaking, thus says Yahweh?
No.
Yeah, you have to really think about that. You think you're going to be really liked when you say Yahweh says don't do that? And this is the pastors too. You know, so we're associated with a lot of pastors, and then so there's a big prayer group that had probably 100 or 200 different pastors and stuff. And then the guy who's running it says that there's no different, I mean, this is not a Democrat or Republican issue. Well, absolutely it is. You know, and that's why I said, if you're a Democrat, you can't be a Christian. Why would, it'd be like a pastor owning a topless bar. What are you talking about? And but they try to make it look like it's very good, and a lot of times they're going after black pastors because the black pastors, 90% vote for Democrats. And so they have compromised the word of Yahweh, usually for what they think they're going to get from the Democratic Party. So they've got two gods. So remember, Israel had two gods. It had Yahweh and it had Baal. The word Baal just means Lord. And who do you go to but somebody who gives you something? Mm-hmm. And so government is the Baal of the Democratic Party. When they want something, they go to government, not to Yahweh. Mm-hmm. As they go to church. And that's the same way with the pastors. And so they have to be confronted and say, you cannot incorporate Democrats and then slander Republicans. You see what Trump is doing right now. Trump said right now, no funding of abortion, period. Planned Parenthood, you're gone. Why, Obama is just the opposite. I mean, it's just day and night. This is not debatable. That in the United States history, the Democratic Party was a party of slavery. The only reason we had slavery in the United States is because I think seven of the colonies were slave states. And they're not going to sign on Unless, so the righteous states had to compromise. So, you know, Thomas Jefferson owned 400 slaves and raised them. And George Washington had 500. These were all Virginians. So out of the 7 presidents, only 2 that didn't have slaves. And nobody even knows who those are. That's John Adams, who was a Christian, and John Quincy Adams, who was a Christian and fought for the abolition of slavery.
Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, but that's not the first 7. But you see that, and that's just the history. Now, they did some good things. Actually, we're going to see what Jehu did, and yeah, we might have had him in the right place, but we also got to acknowledge that these sins came right along with it. And so when you say all men are created equal, according to your Constitution of Jefferson, was that true?
No,
absolutely not.
According to them, yeah.
Yeah, because you have slaves. What are you talking about, all men are equal? And that's where the Europeans would laugh and say, what are you talking about?
Canadians.
Yeah, the same thing, situation too. So that's the history, but we got to be able to say it right. But that is the Democratic Party, and it always is to enslave. And really, it's always the Baal Party. So anybody who has a Lord away from Yahweh is there to satisfy the lust of the flesh when it comes down to it. It's either give me somebody else's money, don't tell me where you got it. Well, it was legal, right? Yeah, we just taxed them. Okay, good. They didn't need it anyway. No, give it to me. And so it's all just, it's legal, right? And so when Hitler took away the Jews' property, was that legal? Well, sure, they made a law. We're going to take all the Jews' property. Okay, that's legal. And so now the Christian can say, oh, it's legal. I'm not breaking any law. He's going to take of this bounty. And that's where you say, you know, let me not eat of their dainties. Yeah. And that's that, you know, Psalms 141:3-4. It says, O Yahweh, set thou a watch over my mouth. Keep thou guard over the door of my lips. Let not my heart incline unto matters of wrong, that I should busy myself with practices of lawlessness, with men working iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. So somebody says, here's some free government money. You say, no thanks. No, I don't touch it. You know, so that's beside the issue. But so there's Josiah. What could have happened with Jeroboam? You know, the world could have presented to him. Like, King Saul's the same way. And he turned it down for, you know, because he didn't believe Yahweh. You know, if I'm going to be in that situation, I'm going to keep a prophet right next to me. Because it doesn't look good. It looks like if you go back, the people start going back to Jerusalem, you know, they only want one king and they're going to kill you. And that's true, but it'd be better off to die with Yahweh than to live 22 years in sin. Now we're going to go to Jehu, or really the name is Jehu. That's a little bit easier to say. Now this guy is phenomenal. Now this is about the only king of Israel, and if you look on here, you have the word good in front of evil. So that's the only king. But Yahweh anoints this guy. And he does a tremendous job. And it reminds me of Donald Trump. You know, what Yahweh's doing with Donald Trump. So we go to 1 Kings 19. Verse 15 through 18. And Wendy, can you read 15 through 18? Mm-hmm. And this is, he's talking to Elijah.
And Yahweh said unto him, Go, return to thy way towards the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou enterest, then shalt thou anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy stead. Then shall it come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet will I have remaining in Israel 7,000, all knees which have not bowed to Baal, and all mouths which have not kissed to him.
So it's prophesied, and this is way before Jehu, I'll say Jehu instead of Jehu, Jehu becomes king. Let's go to 2 Kings now, and this is chapter 9. So, because Elijah went on retirement, and actually the orders were given to Elisha, who ends up fulfilling this, not Elijah.
2 Kings what?
2 Kings chapter 9. Verse 1. So we're going to read 1 through 13. How about Troy, you want to read maybe the first five verses?
Absolutely. Now Elisha the prophet called one of the sons of the prophets and said to him, "Gird up thy loins and take this flask of oil in thy hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. And when thou art come in thither, then look thee out there, Jehu son of Jehoshaphat, son of Nimshi, and thou shalt enter and get him to rise up out of the midst of his brethren and take him into an inner chamber. Then shalt thou take the flask of oil and pour out upon his head and say, Thus saith Yahweh, I have anointed thee to be king unto Israel. Then shalt thou open the door and flee and not tarry."
And that fire.
Run! Yes.
This is your job. Oh, by the way, move. Is there something else I should know?
Right.
Why aren't you going, Elijah? No, don't go ask those questions.
Take my scissors.
Go ahead, four.
I love that.
So the young man went his way, the young man, the prophet, unto Ramoth Gilead. And when he came up, lo, the captains of the force sitting, and he said, "A word have I for thee, O captain." And Jehu said, "For which of us all?" And he said, "For thee, O captain." Then
I'll go ahead and read that. Then rose he up and went inside and poured out the oil upon his head and said unto him, "Thus said Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, I have anointed thee to be king unto the people of Yahweh unto Israel." That's good. Here's your first job. You're king. Here's what your job title is going to do. "And thou shalt smite the house of Ahab, thy lord." Okay? This is it. Okay, so this is what we call treason.
Yeah.
You know, you're going, because he's under Ahab. He's a general under Ahab. So I want you to kill your master. "So will I avenge the blood of my servant, the prophets, and the blood of all thy servants of Yahweh at the hand of Jezebel, so shall perish all the house of Yahweh," or Ahab, "and I will cut off to Ahab the meanest, both him that is shut in and him that is left at large in Israel. Yea, I will deliver up the house of Ahab, like the house of Jeroboam, son of Nebat." See, look at this. "And like the house of Baasha, son of Ahijah." He's the one who killed all the remnants of Jeroboam. "And as for Jezebel, the dog shall eat her in the town land of Jezreel, there being none to bury her. And he opened the door and fled." And what a message.
It's been a hot hole.
Yeah. And then Jehu came forth unto the servant of his lord, and one said to him, "Is all well? Why came this madman unto thee?" And he said unto them, "Ye know the man and his message." And they said, "False, pray tell us." And he said, "Thus and thus spake he unto me, saying, Thus saith Yahweh, I have anointed to be king unto Israel. Then hastened they, and they took every man his garment, and put it under him upon the very steps, and blew the horn, and said, Jehu is king." So these guys are ready. Yahweh knew these guys are going to follow him. So this, the time is right, the iron is hot. You know, what a great incident.
Civil war breaking out.
What do they call it? A junta? No.
Now let's just go through what he's going to do to please Yahweh. And then we're going to show you what he does not to please Yahweh. But first he's going to kill the king of Israel, which is Ahab's son called Jeroboam. And that's 9 verse 24. "And Jehu bent his bow and smote Jeroboam between his arms, and the arrow came out of his heart, and he sank down in his chariot." Okay, one down. Next one. We're going to kill Ahijah. He's king of Judah, visiting up there. And so what has happened, the infestation has been so great, and that's like in the United States. Ahab has corrupted the whole Israel, but they put their daughter down, and she became queen of Judah. And that was Athaliah.
She is
Ahab and Jezebel's daughter. So now, all of Israel, Judah and Israel, is contaminated. And think of it as a parasite.
A witch.
You know, disease. Yeah, what it's coming down to. But her son's up there. or her husband. That's Ahaz. And so look at verse 27. And Ahijah, king of Judah, saw it and fled by the way of the garden house. And Jehu pursued him and said, him also, smite him in the chariot. It was in the ascent of Gur, which is by Abilene. And he fled to Megiddo and died there. So you got him. There's two. Now we're going to take out Jezebel. 9 verse 33. And I love this. You know, got a little time. We'll kind of read this. Let's go to verse 30. And when Jehu entered Jezreel and Jezebel heard of it, she set her eyes. You know, she was probably the most attractive woman in the kingdom. So we're thinking of usually of wicked people as a witch. You know, you say of Jezebel, she's going to have crooked nose and everything else, but she's probably the most attractive, beautiful woman in the empire. And so I think we've all met people like that, where all of a sudden they had great beauty, but there was a core of evil right inside them. And Bill Clinton's like that. And so he can look and charm people, and people, he looks like a really nice guy. And he's got like a charming spirit. His wife doesn't. Hillary doesn't. Because everybody looks at her and goes, yeah. But he does.
She leaves nasty.
Yeah, and so you look at that, and there's something so demonic. Because this person will just... He probably had many people murdered because they got in his way. Just that simple. But here it is. And she set her eyes in... Is that Stabium?
She put this... makeup on her face.
Yeah, the black makeup and ornamented her head and looked forth through the lattice. And so, now think of this guy. Could he be killed at any time? Mm-hmm. He's overthrowing his Lord's kingdom.
She thinks.
And look how bold he is. And when Jehu had entered into the gate, and she said, was it peace when Zimri slew his Lord? And he lifted up his face under the lattice and said, who is with me? Who? And this reminds me of Donald Trump. You know, it really does. And there looked out unto him two or three eunuchs, and he said, hurl her down.
Throw her down.
And then she never saw that coming.
This is her eunuch.
She's probably in the guards. She's probably got guards in front of the door. You're going to have to take our castle. No. Hey, you. People look out the window. Throw her down. Now watch this. And they hurled her down, and there was sprinkling of her blood upon the wall and upon the horses, and they trod upon her. So think of him. He goes up and gets his horse and jumps on top of her body, and then goes has lunch. Watch this. And when he had entered and eaten and drunk, I love this guy. He said, look, I pray you after this accursed woman and bury her for the daughter of her king she is. So they went to bury her, but found not her, save the skull and the feet and the palms of the hands.
Okay, that's really...
Yeah, but then came they back and told him, and he said, the word of Yahweh it is, which he spake by the hand of his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, in the townland of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezreel. So all the carcass of Jezebel become like heaps of dung on the face of the field in the town land of Jezreel, so that they cannot say, this is Jezebel.
Wow.
And he can place that. He's just warming up. All right, so. Okay, now, what's on the agenda? I had lunch. Yeah, so chapter 10, verse 7. He's going to have the 70 sons of Ahab killed. And he says, he's going to say, put the most ablest one on there and fight. So he draws him out. Okay, we're going to... Yeah, I'll get through my master, Ahab. Put him on there and let's fight.
So he goes to the town that the 70 sons were in?
Yeah. And then... But they say, we can't do this because he's already beat... Two kings are already gone. You know, the house of... Israel's gone. Judah's gone. He's already killed those two. And so they cut off their heads. And that's verse 7. And it came to pass when the letter reached them, they had looked at the sons of the king and slew them 70 persons and put their heads in baskets and sent them unto Jezreel.
Isn't that nice?
So you're like, now, so we have to realize Yahweh's law says the sons are not responsible for the sins of the fathers and the fathers' sons are not responsible for the sins of the sons, vice versa. So in this particular case, Yahweh had to know all the sons are responsible. They're all guilty. Not because of the father, but because of what they did individually.
Okay.
That's the only explanation. Otherwise, he just broke his own law. Because you don't kill the sons for the sins of the father. So we have to say his foresight knew every one of them was as bad as their father. Okay, you're dying for your sins also. Not necessarily for your father's, but for yours. That's where God hers. Now.
That ex doesn't have to deliver
that. That's not it, because now the brothers of Ahaziah, which is Judah, he's already been killed. They're coming up to party with the fam in verse 14. Then said he, wait a minute, let's go on to 13. So Jehu lighted upon the brethren of Ahaziah, king of Judah, and said, "Who are you?" And they said, "Brethren of Ahaziah are we." So we came down to salute the sons of the king and the sons of the queen. Yeah, they're just wicked, you know, with these people. And you don't want to be caught in a judgment circle when you're righteous. Because you could just be wiped out. You know, so demonic force or anything else is going to kill this person. And, well, these are my friends. These are my friends. I always hang around with my friends, and they're wicked. And their time has come. Something's about ready to happen. And here you're a righteous person being with them. And that's Lot being in Sodom. The same situation. You're in the wrong place, man. Yeah, you shouldn't be there. You shouldn't be living in Sodom. So this is a little bit of grace, and a lot of times we're not going to have the opportunity to get out. So if you think you can play with fire, you can't. And so these brothers coming up are going to get it. Then said he, "Take them," verse 14, "take them alive." So they took them alive and slew them, casting them into the pit of the shearing house. 42 men, neither left he remain a man of them. They're all contaminated with Ahab. And Athaliah, all through Athaliah and the whole infestation of Ahab. And that's not the end. So now we got the prophets of Baal. And this is very important too. Deceiving evil people can be the right thing to do. So we must realize that it happens all the time. And so just remember, I can't lie. I can't lie because God tells me not to lie. It tells me not to lie, right? Yes. All right. But there's always exceptions. And when you're talking about evil people, deception is part of the deal, if it needs to be. And we're going to see this. And so he says, I'm going to have, and how many of you get all these prophets together? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, we're going to sacrifice to Baal. Bring all the prophets in. And we're going to do a great, was that a deception?
Yes.
Well, absolutely. He's not going to sacrifice. He's going to kill them. And that's no different than, a person in the military, you know, who's doing counterintelligence. You know, when the spies went into the land of Canaan, they can't say, hey, we're from over here. We're going to take over your place. We're just checking everything out.
Yeah, we're going to kill you too, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, did they have to deceive? Yes, they do have to deceive. I mean, it's just the women who were, and people don't realize this. You know, it's all through the word. The women delivering the babies when Pharaoh said, cast the males into the river, right? Mm-hmm. Did the midwives do it?
No.
What did they deceive the Pharaoh?
Yeah, they lied.
Yeah, and they said, hey, the babies are already born by the time we get there. Know what Yahweh did? He prospered them, the midwives. Did they lie? Yes. Did they deceive? Yes, they did.
What about Rahab?
You're against Ahab. Evil. Yeah, Rahab's the same way. You know, and she saved people, and she became the Christ line.
Yeah.
You know, and so we got, and David did it, and save his life. And so many people get into a situation where all of a sudden, well, I can't lie, baloney, and do what Father tells you to do. So, and this is a good illustration, but in 1025, he gets all the prophets together. In 1025, and it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of offering the sending sacrifices, that Jehu said to the runners and to the officers, enter, smite them, let not a man get out. So they smote them with the edge of the sword, and the runners and the officers cast them out, and then went as far as the city of the house of Baal, and brought forth the idolatrous pillars, and were in the house of Baal, and then burned it, and they break down the pillars of Baal, and break down the house of Baal, and appointed it for a sewer house unto this day. Thus Jehu destroyed Baal out of Israel. Did he do his job? That's what Yahweh asked him to do. All of Ahab and Baal. Nevertheless, and so Yahweh is going to use imperfect individuals as the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he caused Israel to commit. This is a long time after. Yehu from Jeroboam. You're talking about a couple, probably a hundred years. And it's still mentioned about Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which means the two gods, which he caused Israel to commit. Yehu turned not from following them, so he didn't tell people to come to Jerusalem to worship. And calves of gold, one being in Bethel and the other in Dan. But watch, Yahweh's going to reward him, even though he knows he's doing these things. Now how is that? And Yahweh said unto Yehu, because thou hast done well by doing that which was right in mine eyes, according to all that was in my heart. Isn't that funny? Throwing Jezebel, was out the window, was all right? Is that part of Yahweh's heart?
Yeah.
Just that right here.
Training your dog food.
Yeah, have done to the house of Ahab, sons of thine, unto the fourth generation shall sit upon the throne of Israel. I'm going to pay you four generations. Well, that is, if you look at this deal, he does 28 years. Jehoash has 17 years. Joash, 16 years. Jeroboam, 41 years. And Zechariah only did 6 months. That is 102.5 years.
Of evil.
No. A payment.
Blessings.
So because he eradicated the house of Ahab, Yahweh blessed him, his family, for 102.5 years. Now, isn't that amazing? Even knowing that he's doing this, these two gods, and he's not going to Jerusalem. So it does show us that Yahweh does work things, and when they're not going to be perfectly turned out. So many times the pastors, many times very successful pastors, can be no different than Jehu. They got a very good side, and they got a real wicked side here too. The sons of Nebat. I mean, they can't, because Yahweh put them into this office. Right? And so they automatically say, Yahweh put them in this office. Everything that they say must be right. Absolutely not. As we saw, that was Solomon, right? Did they ever write books of the Bible like Solomon?
No.
You know, did they ever, Yahweh visit them twice like Solomon? And Solomon didn't end well at all. And he actually got all of Israel to sin because he built these altars to these gods. Can any pastor do the same thing? Yeah, they do it. And that's just the part of the Trinity. You know, they've got to because everybody else doesn't. What it comes down to. So if I want a job, I'm going to have to do that. It's not popular. Now we go to 2 Kings 10, 25. I guess we already did that. Four generations. Let's go to 15, 12. And this is when his, Jeroboam's last relative is, let's see, 15, 12. Jump too far. Well, go to 11. Now the rest of the story of Zechariah, behold it written in the book of the Chronicles of the king of Israel. That was the word of Yahweh which he spake unto Jehu, saying, thy sons to four generations shall sit on thy throne of Israel. And it was so. So it's now 102 years of blessing. So remember, the story is, we know that Yahweh many times is a servant of Yahweh, but only follow him in the place where he's serving Yahweh. Not where he's not serving Yahweh. And don't try to throw him out either, because he's not pure.
Yeah.
So, you know, here's Donald Trump. He's been divorced, I think, 3 times. So a Christian can say, well, he can't be ruling over us. Well, here's Jehu. Now, who can stand up to the Democratic Party like Trump has? You know, basically nobody. All right? And so it's like a Jehu. Who stood up to Jehu? Or, Yehu? Nobody. They just got out of his way and said, okay, we're going to follow you. Was he right all the time? No, was he, you know, that's just the way it is. But there was prosperity that it was coming close to fulfilling Yahweh's will than the opposite of just allowing that family to go there. So, that's what we'll learn. Okay, we'll go ahead and hear from our father.
You eat the soup and spit out the bones?
Yeah.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, God.
102 years.
So the scriptures tells us what they're doing is right or wrong. New revelation doesn't do that. So it's really simple. You know, and you guys have been raised with the Trinity, like all of us. Every epistle from Paul should say, according to the church, Greetings from the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, shouldn't they? Do they?
No.
What do they say? Greetings from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Period. Over and over and over. You're like, wait a minute. Look at the evidence. Look at the evidence and look at the evidence and say, no, wait a minute. No, Paul never said Father, Son, and Holy Ghost ever. So where did this come in from? So I have to start doing that. This was Basil back in 300 A.D., and it's only one verse. Do you know this? Okay. This is in Matthew 28:19. And it says, go out to the nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. That's the only place it's ever used in the whole Bible. Did Peter do that?
No.
No. He baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. People were baptized through the book of Acts 3 different times, never in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. So we have to say, something's wrong with that verse. Because that was only 10 days later.
Yeah.
So we're just going to put that verse away. I know it says that, but it was never done.
Hold it in a bag.
Paul never said Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. You know, the Catholic Church goes Father, Son, Holy Ghost, as you probably know. Without that verse, that's the whole Trinity was based on that verse. You know, so, and you say no, because Yahushua is of the seed of David, right? He can't be before David.
If he's of the seed of David. Seed of,
well, that's his body. And so we started getting into all these things in his body. That was his body. He was really Yahweh, and he actually made David. So how could he be the seed of David? And so it goes on and on and on. So the stuff that we've been done, and we have to go back to the scriptures and see chapter and verse, and like anything else, if it's not there, I'm not taking it. And if it's only there in one place and 10 other verses contradict it, nah. You know, that's it. That's just religion, man. And can I answer? Maybe not. But I can say, I know what it doesn't mean. So many times you can say, well, what about this verse? I know it does not mean there's a triune God, three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Because that's not part of the scriptures. And so what it means, I don't know, but it's not that. And so we remember, with any verse, we don't necessarily know what they mean, but we can definitely say what they do not mean.
That's research.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's it. And so you can say, Yahweh's parameters is justice, righteousness, and chesed. He delights, these are his parameters, so everything must fit around that. So when Yahweh kills somebody like Ahab, what part was that? Justice. And righteousness. Mm-hmm. And obviously there was no chesed with Ahab. Ahab broke that. Yeah. So did Jezebel break that?
Like the 102 years a year.
Yeah, that's all right. So just think, keep that in mind. Okay, now, enough of that, we'll go ahead and pray. Anybody wants to speak in tongues and interpret or prophesy, go ahead. Father, we thank you so much for these words. Through Christ our Lord, amen.
I'll speak in tongues and interpret. Dete rudi shinirieta ke dia samul vua. It's time for you to rise up and lift your ears to me and realize the only words that matter are the ones that come from me. First through my written words and through the things that I confirm through the Ruach Kodesh inside you. All that will matter at the end of this life is what you did for me. Everything else will fade away. So as you reconcile what you do each day, as you prepare to meet me at my desk in the future, know that everything will start becoming into fruition.
I'll speak in tongues and interpret. Bianat quiliata satumeatu quiati ibiana easi quiatumotu biana earti buquiasan. As you walk forth today and you walk forth through your future walkings, listen to what I have to say in my word and put it on and meditate upon it and make it part of your life, regardless of what other people claim it or not. So you are my sons and my daughters whom I put here for a purpose to magnify the greatness of my life, and my light only comes from my written word.
Know this, my precious beloved children, each one of you individually that is here this evening and that is listening to this teaching, you are special. You are very special. You've been called out before the foundations of the world. I knew you would be here, and I am well pleased with you. Know that as long as you're obedient to my word, I will rain down blessings upon you, so much so that you just cannot believe it. And know, my children, that any healing that you desire, anything that you desire, as long as you stay within the confines of my word, you shall have them. For I need you blessed, and I need you to prosper, so that you can go forth and preach my word.
Know, children, that as you stand up with boldness and stand on my word, that you are, that I am speaking from your lips. Do not be ashamed, and do not feel guilty or tired or weary when you speak my word. For you will be built up. You will be prospered. Your words are bold to others. So you must speak them. Speak them to all that will listen and those that don't listen. But just speak my word. Just drink my word each day so that I can refresh you and renew you each morning, and I can put those words on your lips.